Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, and welcome to the Bench Jockeys here on UMFM 101.5. I am Brian Svensson, and I am joined, as always, on the bullpen phone by Chris Zook.
Unfortunately, I am here, yes.
And we're joined on our annual once-a-year Blue Jays update with Sportsnet's Arash Madani. How are you?
Doing great, Brian. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing not too bad, yes. Not as bad, you know. We're doing pretty good, there's a little bit of that pandemic going on. But overall, there's actually still Major League Baseball being played.
It was very nice of you to join us on the Zoom call, Chris. It only took you 20 minutes to figure out how to turn it on.
We just got the technology in Winnipeg.
That didn't stop me from getting on, Zook.
Exactly.
All right. Enough. Arash, we're taping this on a Wednesday just earlier in the week, and the Blue Jays have had some interesting games with the Marlins so far this week.
Well, just I think the whole start to the season has just been an exercise of a baseball team that just hasn't been able to get out of its own way. You know, they've had errors on the base paths, they've had errors in the field. Until the Marlins series, they could not hit with runners in scoring position before that barrage of what, 7 home runs on Wednesday. It's a team that is still figuring out how to, a young team trying to figure out how to be a big league ball club. And, there was a thought that maybe in a 60 game season, you know, they'd be able to surprise some people and sneak in, and there are some pieces there that can be dangerous. And look, to me, Nate Pearson's still a front-of-the-rotation kind of guy, but he just is forcing it right now. He wants it so badly. He's pressing. So all the things you'd expect from a young team, you're getting, and it's all in under the sphere of like 2.5-3 weeks since the season started. And, you know, they, with a little more experience, with a little more seasoning, with a little more poise, with a little more clutch play, their record very well could be reversed. But instead, they are where they are, guys.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing with a young team. You know, there is going to be growing pains, and this isn't a team that I think any of us expect to compete for another 2 or even 3 years. The outfield is still a giant question mark.
Well, I don't know about that. You think this team is 3 years away from being an October team?
You think that they're more than that, or do you think they're less than that?
I
think this team can be in the postseason.
Well, they might be this year, actually.
Before 2023.
But everyone can make the postseason this year, Rash. Like, I mean, you know.
I just mean in general.
Like,
pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Pre-pandemic, I figured that this team would go from 67 wins last year? 65 wins. I actually thought they could be around 500 this year.
I kind of thought that was I agree. At the beginning of the season, before we knew there was going to be a pandemic, when we did our preview podcast, I said 500 was probably about where I was thinking they were going to be, probably someplace between 78 and 84 wins. But the problem isn't necessarily that they won't be good enough to hit 90 wins. It's that the division is always going to be very hard to be competitive in. So, and there are still question marks about the outfield. There are still question marks about the back end of a rotation and even a bullpen. And I say that as a fan, right? I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
I
don't think
I'm
they
wrong.
Have an outfield. I don't think they have an outfield either. I agree with you there. But I don't have questions about the rotation at all. Matter of fact, I think this is their best rotation and what they're building here. I mean, you have Ryu, who is,
that
you know,
was a
2 years, is a number two. You have Pearson, who's a number one or a number two in 2 years, probably still a number two. And, you know, what the Ryu signing does is, Ryu's probably, what, the number three starter in the free agent class this year? Like, after Gerrit Cole, who was number two?
You can make the argument it was Ryu, but, yeah.
Agents are now free agent the number two free agent pitcher in baseball just signed in Toronto.
Yeah, it was huge. It was super exciting, and I was very excited to be to talk about it. I'm very excited. It's awesome to watch him. We get to watch him every 5 days, and he's fantastic. And I still, I don't know, I still have kind of questions about sort of the back end. You're right. There are two really great pitchers there, but there's a lot of inconsistency outside of that. And can you convince more players, more better pitchers to come here? Can you develop them? I hope. That's always the hope, right?
Well, those are two separate things. If you're bringing pitchers here, pitchers are signing here, you're not bringing them in to develop them.
Right.
You draft players to develop them, or you trade for prospects. If you're going to get a free agent pitcher, he's coming in here to log 180 to 200 innings for you.
Right. But they're going to have to do one of those two things, either or.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But I just think this is a team with the way it's constructed now, that in 2022 should be right there in the thick of an October conversation.
I really hope so.
That would be nice. Arash, I'm just wondering sort of also, you know, as they're building on this team, there's a lot of youth there. It's funny, a lot of those players played in Buffalo, which is now their home stadium for 2020. Maybe talk about sort of Vladdy Guerrero Jr.'s move to first base and how he's adjusting so far this season.
Well, I look at Guerrero and I'm just saying to myself, this is the ultimate work in progress, and it's the ultimate, this is going to take a while. You know, they're saying that the Blue Jays tell me they like his hands, they like his instincts, they like the angles he's taking, you know, but that there's a lot to learn there. Like, this is not slow pitch. Like, I think in slow pitch, you just put the guy who can hit at first base and just say, okay, just keep one foot on the bag and then we'll just throw the ball to you. There's so much more that goes into being a first baseman at the major league level, and there's so much to learn. And he's 1 month in, and it's going to take him at least 2 years, at least. You know, all the nuances, all the, you know, from the cutoff man and the relays and all the things that go into it. And Vlad's going to get more athletic. Like, he came out of lockdown not looking good physically, so there's a lot more that needs to happen.
Yeah, there were a lot of videos, you know, the TikToks and the Twitter videos and the Instagram videos of him before spring training looking in incredible shape. And, you know, you saw him in spring training, and he did. He looked in very good shape, and he came out of lockdown looking probably, what, 15 pounds heavier than he was in spring training?
And what is that one?
It's, you know, it's not sustainable for a high level athlete to do that, to put that kind of stress on that, on your body every single day at that sort of weight. Like, it's just, it's going to be problematic.
Yeah. So it's going to be up to him. It's going to be up to him if he's going to take that next step. And part of being a pro is putting in all that work.
Well, yeah, and they're expecting a lot from him as well as the other young players on that team. So, I mean, he's sort of he's not a franchise player, but he's one of the franchise players, right? So it'll be interesting. I mean, unfortunately, I think we all might have a COVID bump, but it's a little more pronounced at the major league level. Do you get an expectation that a postseason run is in this team this year? I mean, with the expanded playoffs, is that something that's attainable for this team if they get hot somewhere in August or September?
I don't know, Chris. I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the season? I mean, I don't
already
know.
Which is crazy, right? That's the thing in the 60-game season.
And how many teams are going to play 60? We don't know. Is there going to be a second wave? Is there going to be a spike of cases? But on top of that, already in the first week of the season, Justin Verlander's forearm goes, Corey Kluber's shoulder, Ken Giles's elbow. You know, it's one thing to get through the first 15 games, but who knows what so many players went through during lockdown those 4 months. Injuries are going to be crazy. You know, it's one thing to miss 10 days. It's one thing to miss 15 or 20 days in 162 games of a season. But then suddenly, if you're going to miss 15 or 20 days now, that's a third of the schedule. And not just with the Blue Jays, I'm saying other teams. But I'll tell you what, the Blue Jays have got to start winning games.
Sure.
If you can talk about what the roster looks like and what they're capable of and the rest. But, you know, Wednesday night they put up 11 runs and lose. And it seemed like getting to 3 runs for the longest time was a challenge.
Which was interesting in that game, too. I believe on the telecast for Rogers Sportsnet that the Jays hit 7 home runs in a game and became only the 4th team to lose.
Right.
And the Jays also, I believe, hit 6 had 6 consecutive innings of hitting a home run and still lost. So that's, I mean, you know, you're right in regards to there's not a lot of pause in this season. When we have a regular season, it's 162 games. It's a marathon. They can, sustain, you know, a little bit of a losing streak. If you go on much of a losing streak, you're going to be in trouble. I will say what I was very impressed, I think, in that game, Bo Bichette had 5 hits. Just talk about sort of his start to the season.
Well, I think Bo Bichette's going to be the face of this franchise. I think Bo's going to be the heartbeat of this team. I think Bo's going to be the guy that everybody looks to. Bo is, you know, he grew up in this. He's a complete pro. And Bo Bichette is going to be, you know, the heartbeat of this team moving forward. He's going to be a middle infielder moving forward. He has very little interest in moving positions, which is going to be interesting as this whole thing unfolds with what's coming. But with the Guerrero move over to first base, that, you know, that changes things. Bo's got a confidence about him. He's got a swagger about him. He grew up in a big league clubhouse with his father. And he's not intimidated by any of it. And that's a big part of it. But going back to the previous point, like, I think when you look at this Blue Jay team, anytime Ryu gets the ball and anytime Matt Shoemaker gets the ball, they have a pretty good chance to win. I just don't know yet about Chase Anderson. I just don't know yet about Tanner Roark. I think there are major question marks for both of those guys. And then Pearson, we're going to watch the evolution of a kid who 3 years ago was in high school. You know, from a maturity standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, there's no free at-bats at this league. You can't just overpower people in this league. He's going to learn that the big leagues is a totally different animal, and everything he did in the minors just doesn't matter anymore. So eventually Pearson's going to be the guy. Eventually Pearson's going to be lights out and outstanding. But there's going to be a big learning process for him to get there. So to think about where this team's going this year, it's just so hard to know because in addition to the injuries and everything else are the pitching questions.
Right.
Yeah, at this point in time, you know, you've got every single game counts even more, obviously. And if without winning games, it is, they continue to make a mountain for themselves to climb. And I do believe in Nate Pearson. He's shown it at every single level. What minimal we have shown in between some injuries that he's got stuff. And he's got stuff that plays against all different types of hitters, which is very important. And I do believe in him. You're right. He's a kid, and we have to have the expectations from him that we would from a kid. He's got a lot of learning and growing to do, which is fine.
Yeah, it's all part of it, right?
Exactly. So another thing I really wanted to talk about, Arash, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, is the bullpen for the Jays. Ken Giles going down earlier in the year, one of the pitching casualties of this year. There are many of them. And, I mean, there were questions about this bullpen coming into the year. You lose Ken Giles, you know, one of the lockdown closers in the league, and it really brings up even more questions into this bullpen. Obviously, they've been using Anthony Bass as the closer. Right now, but talk to me about the strengths, weaknesses, fears that you have about this bullpen.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the fears. I'll tell you what I like. I like Jordan Romano.
He's good.
He's very good.
Talk about a dude who has transformed himself. I saw him in January. He was up in Toronto. At that point, he put on over 10 pounds of muscle already. And he just put the change up away and said, you know what? I'm just going fastball slider. I'm sticking to my strengths, and just added a sharper slider with a downward action on it. That's going to be his put away pitch. And he has been dynamite. Given up one hit in almost 9 innings of work.
Yeah. All the advanced stats say that his high leverage stuff is just some of the best in the league.
Pitching with remarkable confidence. And the velo's there. And he actually, you know, in this offseason, if you want to get really nerdy, started working with this thing called a moto sleeve. And it's basically, you know, a sleeve on his forearm that's got a little microchip in it that measures how much work his arm is actually getting when he's throwing. So instead of being like, oh, it feels like I threw a lot yesterday, I'm going to back off today, they actually have real data to know when he should amp it up, when he should scale it back, et cetera, et cetera. Canadian guy who started, you know, was a starter, now a reliever, bounced around to a couple of teams. He's critical for them. I really like Ryan Borucki and what he's become as a reliever. You know, middle reliever, can go a couple of innings for you. His velocity is up. His confidence is up. That's working for them. They don't have a closer, guys. I mean, Ken Giles' elbow went the first series of the season in Tampa, and he's not even throwing yet.
Is Romano going to be the closer, do you think, eventually?
Is who?
Romano. Would he? I know it's Anthony Bass right now.
On Wednesday, Charlie Montoya said, I'm not scared to use him as my ninth inning guy. I mean, you know, I'm comfortable using him as the ninth inning guy.
Is it a bit of a committee, you think, or is trying to figure out who's the guy?
Bass has gotten every single opportunity since Giles went down.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying is down the road, would they transfer into maybe?
But what's the road, Chris? This is the question.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends in the next week or so where this team goes, right? Like you said.
No, I think they leave it with Bass for the rest of the season if Giles doesn't come back. It's so short, unless they are really in it.
It depends how Bass does. It was one bad outing for him this week. But I think that the sample sizes are going to be a lot smaller than they were before.
Yeah.
Like before, if your closer blew, you know, 2 or 3 saves, you may even still go with him. I'm not sure if that's going to continue just because of each game is worth, 2.7 of what it was before?
Yep.
Right.
So you blow 3 games, that's you know, 8 or 9 games you've blown.
And you've seen that across the major leagues this year, right? There's a very short hook on closers. There's not a lot of closers that are staying on there if they blow 1 or 2 saves. So, I mean, and I think it also depends where the Jays are in the standings, right? If they still have a run for postseason, I mean, they just go with the hot guy.
Yeah. But, you know, if Bass continues to pitch well, it's going to stay Bass.
Yeah.
And if not, if they still have confidence in Dolis, it'll be Dolis after that. And if Dolis doesn't get it done, then it's going to be Romano. I mean, it's who's next down the line.
Right.
I don't necessarily think there's a plan with this. It's just a matter of, okay, when Giles returns and if Giles is healthy, he'll regain the ninth inning job. If he isn't, it's who's getting it done, and we'll roll with that dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's talking about, you know, who's down the line. Yeah, I mean, I think Garash is right that it's just kind of a next man up, you know, whoever's getting the job done kind of thing.
What do you think, Garash, about the scenario that the Jays had to find a home stadium? They finally got to Buffalo eventually, and now they're starting up there. Do you think that created any, you know, adversity sort of this team, or they just kind of have rolled with the punches so far this season?
Well, the whole thing has just been a mess.
Yeah.
It's a pandemic, right?
Yeah, of course.
So under the circumstances, they've done a decent job with Buffalo. It's still a minor league facility, but they have major league lighting and they have decent clubhouses and, you know, you're going to play games. I think the one advantage, I guess, is the wind there is crazy. The shadows are nuts. There's nooks and crannies to the ballpark. And a lot of the Blue Jays have played there before, especially their own prospects on the way up. So they know some of those things. So that can be a bit of a help. But guys, they got to go win games now.
Yeah.
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 Like, we can talk about all the other stuff right now. Like, this record, this would have been a very different conversation if they were more disciplined on the base paths, if they didn't commit the errors, if they just did something with runners in scoring position along the way early in the season. Yeah.
I mean, they're a young ball team, and they're playing like a young ball team.
Yeah.
You know, they're making mistakes that seasoned veteran teams wouldn't make or wouldn't make as often. And you know, we kind of did expect this, and that's fine. You know, it's part of the growing process. And just kind of league wide, what do you think of some of the rule changes that have been, and I guess playoff changes, we'll call it, that the league has instituted.
Well,
specifically the runner on second and the extra innings. The league-wide DH.
The league-wide DH, I think they're going to experiment to see, hey, can this work?
Right.
Long-term. The extra inning thing is a necessity for this year and this year only. This is my understanding is that this is not something that they want to do long-term, but they knew that there were going to be issues with COVID, and they knew that there were going to be cancellations and postponements and a bunch of doubleheaders. So in addition to playing the 7-inning games, you can't have, you know, the Blue Jays coming up after this off day have 28 games in 27 days.
Yeah.
You can't have 15 and 16 inning games. On top of that, you don't want guys hanging around the dugout more than they have to for social distancing purposes. And you don't want to wipe out bullpens and. So the extra inning thing is a byproduct of the pandemic. That's what, you know, but I think the DH is very much something that they're looking at.
Yeah, I think I agree. They've been kind of wanting to do this, the DH at least, for years.
It's about time, let's be honest. It's about time.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I don't necessarily have a problem with the leagues having different rules in that regard. I just wish the pitchers were better hitters. If they even hit at the same level as a backup catcher,
that's the problem. Yeah, they're not,
and they haven't been.
They never will. And they never will again. Right?
They shouldn't be really.
They're being groomed. Well, and they
don't hit all the way. Like you know, you might get a two-way guy in high school, but the second he hits university ball or the minor leagues, they don't hit again.
Yeah.
You know, it's DH is all the way up through everything after that. So, you know, you get a guy that might not touch a bat for 5 years or 6 years before he comes back to the big leagues, which is, Arash, you know, it's tough.
Yeah. And Arash, you touched base on this. I'm just wondering, you know, even if Major League Baseball thought, you know, there were going to be some more doubleheaders or there's going to be some challenges with COVID, it's been a tough start to the season here with the lot, you know, with the Marlins, especially St. Louis, Cardinals. Do you expect, I mean, we can't predict this, but did really Major League see like how bad that it would have been to start off this season?
Yeah. I mean, how do you? Like, the NFL's about to go through this now.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The issue is not the travel. The issue is not the stadium. The issue is not the protocols at the ballpark. The thing is, guys have free time.
Yes.
Guys, for a 7 o'clock game, they're getting to the stadium around 2:30, 3 o'clock. So from the time they wake up until 2 o'clock, and it's not just the – this is not just the Lou Williams going to the Magic City adult establishment for wings and some fun. It's just going to a shopping mall. It's going to get a pizza. It's going to get coffee. It's being out and about in markets like Miami-Dade County, where America and those areas, not just hotspots, they are cesspools.
Yeah, they're on fire right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, understand this. The Miami, the week the Marlins had their outbreak, there were more new cases within the Marlins traveling party of 65, 70 people than the city of Toronto that has 2.9 million people.
Yeah.
So I just don't know as an industry how you could have seen this when you were started putting together your pandemic plan back in May and June.
Yeah.
Nobody knew anything. We still know so very little. And then when this started, they're like, okay, we got to lock this down or there's just not going to be a league.
Right, because there were some missteps about that. The Marlins played an extra game, and then I thought they were slow to respond. They have been better since then. You're right, because they did see the writing on the wall. If this continued, there would be minor league players playing Major League Baseball, and there wouldn't be many teams that could field teams if it kept going like that. That said, is I got to be honest, I don't know if it – we'll see, right, because no one knows exactly. But if the second wave comes – I mean, this is where baseball, I thought, got in trouble. That if they would have just agreed earlier, they could have started the season earlier. And they could
I don't know if that necessarily would have been a good
idea.
Same
stuff would have happened.
Same stuff would have happened.
Yes and
no. No, Zook, the same stuff would have happened.
Where's your
note? My note would be that America wasn't on fire as much in June as it was in July.
But eventually it was going to be.
I would agree with that. I'm just saying is they might have been able to get more games in before everything hit the fan.
So they're talking about doing a bubble for the postseason, which is a must.
Yes.
They have to.
Yes.
I think that's what we're seeing on the other leagues, the NBA and the NHL. The bubble seems to be the way to do it. But
you can't do a bubble in baseball for a regular season.
They were looking at it originally.
Yeah, but too many guys. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, okay. So they're looking at it. They're looking at it. See, so, like, this is something that's very important to understand. They were looking at it. Okay. So – name me a city. You'd have 30 games, 30 teams rather, so 15 games a day.
Yeah.
Name me a city that has facilities to play, to have three different broadcast level, Major League Baseball dimensions facilities in them. Because you can't do... The thing is, when the Jays play a 7 o'clock game, like I just said, the guys get there at 2:30 in the afternoon. They come in, they do their hot tub and their cold tub. They do their workouts. They watch video. They go into the cage. They hit off a tee. They go stretch. They take batting practice. They watch more video. Then they go play a game. It's not, you're not showing up at 6:30 and saying, all right, let's get into a uniform and let's go play ball.
Yeah.
I agree with Arash 100%. It wasn't going to happen in a bubble. This isn't, you know, this isn't the NHL. This isn't basketball.
Yeah, sure, I get that. I'm just saying is that unfortunately they blew a couple months where they could have been playing when they were trying to negotiate a 60-game schedule that Major League Baseball was going to always have. So it just seems like they shot themselves in the foot because at least they could add more of the season.
No, but Chris, if you heard what Rob Manfred said, he said we were always only going to play 60 games.
No, I get that. I guess so. So then I don't know why. Then
you have to understand one thing about all this. Other than the NFL, nobody's making money in pro sports right now. All this is they're losing less.
Okay.
So it made no sense. It made no sense for baseball to come out and start money.
But wouldn't they lose less money if they played more games? The players would want to play more games because they'd get more money, right? There would be...
No, but that's the whole point. No, but Chris, the whole point is if you play more games and pay the players more money, you lose more.
But don't they
That's
get
the
more
whole
money
thing.
From,
when you don't have no, revenue they don't from more money your from stadium...
They don't make any more money than they wouldn't make any more. Yeah.
You wouldn't make more money because you'd be more exposure. You'd sell more product online, more merchandise.
No, I don't think you would.
Your
I don't think the
exposure online is not paying the bills.
Yeah, without people coming in through the gate, and I don't really think that the money they could have gotten off of TV deals would have been massively more.
Where baseball makes its money is off its national TV deals, but more than that, it's off the postseason. The reason why it's an expanded postseason to get more teams in is because the playoff money in TV and baseball is absurd. So that's why it's an expanded playoff, because they can get more money from the networks with the playoffs.
I totally agree. I would be interesting after this year if they want to stay with some of that, right? Because it does seem like that's where they can make a lot more money going forward.
Yeah. I think that they probably will. I mean, I don't see any, like, the players will probably end up voting for that too, right? Because, you know, more money means that they get more money. So I think that that's probably something we will see going forward.
Baseball's in a really bad spot right now, guys. There is a massively contentious collective bargaining agreement.
Sure, yeah.
War that is on the horizon. And there is so much acrimony. And it's not going to be pretty. So I don't know how this thing is going to unfold.
I mean, at least they did get the season going this year. That would have been the worst case scenario, right? That they would have done all this and then still.
No, but they were always going to, because yeah. In the March agreement.
Right. I know it was built into it. I understand.
Yeah. So they were always going to do it. It was always.
It's frustrating as a fan to just see 2 months of just back and forth, stupid negotiation that really amounted to nothing, where they could have at least been playing or at least been on the field. And even if it was 60 games, at least would have drawn it out. Or I don't, you know, I'm just, they could have been first on the field in June instead of July. And, you know,
but like we just talked about that, Zook. I don't think it would have mattered, because even with the games.
It mattered to be the first one in North America to have more of the lay of the land. When they came back,
but
all
like,
the other teams.
So,
NBA and the NHL came back,
Zook,
at the same time.
But okay, so baseball comes back a month earlier than everybody else, doesn't have a bubble, and COVID cases spike. And how do you think that looks? Probably not great.
But the same way it looked in July. But at least
yeah, but it still wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped in the way that you think it would have. That all of a sudden there would have been this huge baseball.
They were the only sport going.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Yes, it would.
I do not think it would have mattered.
I disagree.
Chris, it was never going to happen.
Well, I
because
get that.
They were only going to play 60 games.
Right. I just think it was silly then to do all that stuff, and they could have spread out the season a bit then, so that you're not playing doubleheaders, you're not playing a condensed schedule, which it is, where we were talking at the start, you have all these injuries. This is not good for the product itself when you don't have
no,
the best players on the field.
If you spread it out, there's going to be injuries regardless. And if you spread it out, they'd say, baseball's stupid. These guys are used to playing every day. Now you're spreading it out. That's why there have been injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, there's not a perfect solution to this. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I mean, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's what we got for this year. And hopefully baseball will somehow play throughout and we'll actually have playoffs this year.
Any last thoughts before you head out of here, Rash?
I think if you're a fan of the Blue Jays, appreciate Bo Bichette.
Yes.
Remember the growing pains of Nate Pearson, because it's all part of it. And those are going to be the two cornerstone players of this franchise.
That's something to hang your hat on, right? That's good for the next couple of years, I think.
No, I mean, they're both going to be way more than a couple of years.
Oh, no. But I'm saying is for the next 2 years, as they, you know, they hopefully reach all their potential, right? I mean, Bo's sort of already there. But, I mean, I think you're right, is that those would be the cornerstone for the Blue Jays for now and future.
God, they're so fun to watch. You know, yeah. Say all the growing pains, despite all that, they're still like a fun team with a lot of energy and personality to watch. And it's
just nice that they won some more games.
It's fun to be a Blue Jays fan right now. It is.
I mean, they're wanting to put it together and for once not get in their own way. Just get out of your own way, guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all that we have time for today. Stay tuned for Front Burner for all your COVID news. Arash, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
You got it, fellas. Have a great one.
You too.
Strike three. You're out.